This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
You are tuned in to Americana Music Profiles. Thanks for joining us for the second season, brought to you exclusively by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine.
Man, it's people like you that make it possible for us to get out here and enjoy this life.
Thank you for getting in touch with me. I'm so glad you love what we do.
Thank you for your help with everything, Greg. It's a wonderful thing you've got going there.
I'm your host and publisher, Greg Tutwiler. Now let's get to this week's show. My guest for this episode is Angie Breuer, originally from upstate New York. Although she began her professional career as a Southern California model, Angie eventually parlayed her childhood experiences and love for writing poems into a songwriting career. Angie and her band, The Deserters, currently have a two-part EP in the pipeline, the first titled Blood Like Wine. Hi, Angie. Welcome to the program today.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having us.
Hey, you're welcome. Good to talk to you. So let's talk about your career a little bit. And I think I read here in the notes where you actually got started as a model.
I did get started as a model. It was just something that happened. I got scouted on the streets, the typical story when my family and I moved to Los Angeles. And being from upstate New York, I had no idea what I was getting into. But it happened pretty quick. It was cool. But the whole time I played my music.
Yeah, and how long ago was that?
I always had my bass and my guitar with me.
How long ago was that?
Well, I started when I was, I think I got scouted when I was 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Then I did it until I was about, I did that until I was about 26, 27 years old with odd jobs here and there in between. But I actually kind of got out of the modeling industry for a while and had a crazy, my apartment burned down in Hollywood. I was living up behind the whiskey and I lost all my songs. I lost everything.
Oh,
and
geez.
All I saved was my bass.
Wow.
So I thought, well, I better get back to it. So I flew to Milan with my bass, bought a couple pair of Levi's and a pair of boots and started up again. And then my career kind of started to take off modeling at that time, but so did my songwriting.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool. They coincided.
So songwriting has really kind of been the underlying theme for you for your whole life then?
Pretty much, yeah. I started writing lyrics when I was a kid, poetry.
Uh-huh.
All the time, always writing poetry and just, accumulated stacks and stacks of poetry. And I think I wanted to do something with them and not just, put them out in a book. And I think that's how the natural progression went for me. And I actually started playing guitar later in life. I was about 16, 17. Just to have something to put my poetry to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's how that happened. But yeah, for me, it's all about songwriting. It's my drug. It's my favorite thing to do.
And you're originally from New York, right? Upstate New York.
I am upstate New York, a small town called Potsdam. I grew up, very different from the Los Angeles lifestyle. Couldn't actually be more different. When I grew up, the town was filled with Amish people and people on horse and buggies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A lot of freedom as a child running mm-hmm. around in the woods and different time. But I think a lot of that had a lot of influence over my lyrics as well.
Yeah, a lot of people, when we think of New York, the rest of the world, we think of New York City, and that's completely different from the North Country, upstate New York.
It couldn't be more different, in fact. I never went to New York City until I moved to Los Angeles.
Wow.
Okay. So it wasn't even something that was in my realm of thought that you just, drive to New York City or get there in any way. I had to come to Los Angeles first to realize. how badly I'd like to go to New York City. It's a different world.
Yeah.
And what? I'm actually going there next week, and you know, I'd love to visit my family at the same time, but that's how far apart they actually are. People
wow,
don't
okay.
realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we don't. The rest of the world kind of lumps it all up into one place.
Yep.
What sparked the inspiration for the poetry writing? How did that begin for you?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I think a vivid imagination and crazy dreams, and I've just always been such a dreamer. I'm not quite sure because I think I read a lot. You know, I read a lot of books, and I'm a big reader and just a lover of words in general. So I think at a young age, that's what sparked it for me.
So then the music career, modeling career overlapped each other a little bit. Did I understand that correctly?
They did. And, you know, actually, it wasn't a career for me at the time with the modeling because I was traveling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it was hard to form a band, but the songwriting started then for sure. It was a way to escape, too. You know, at night they're long hours and it's wonderful, and there's so much inspiration in the travel of it that I really use that for a lot of earlier songs that I wrote.
Do you recall when it felt like, okay, maybe this music thing is actually going to work and there was a shift for you?
I still don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever felt that the music thing is going to work. I think I just felt that I have no choice.
Okay.
And I have to do it. I have to write. I think I just knew that fulfilled me, you know, more than anything. I think I knew that really early on. I think, in fact, that's what pulled me out of the modeling more so. It's just, I really wanted to be more grounded and start a band and really work, hone in my craft, and I felt like that took me away from it. So, I think that's the answer to that.
Is it a full-time pursuit for you at this point, or do you have other things that you're involved in?
At this point, it is a full-time. I've done many things. I've had other businesses throughout. You know, it's difficult being a songwriter and I have a daughter and making that all work.
Sure.
So I've had to have other jobs, but I'm incredibly fortunate at the time and been able to play some songs and some television shows and TV movies. You know, it's starting to make a living finally. You know, it's one of those things I tell people, just, you know, if this is really what you want to do, you can't give up. Sometimes it's disheartening, but it's what I'll do till I'm 90, so I'm making it work now, so I'm really, really fortunate. I think that mixed with my passion of motorcycles is pretty much
cool.
That's my full-time thing right now,
okay.
My full-time gig. I don't know if you saw the last video.
I did.
Country radio, yeah.
Yeah.
You see a little bit of that there.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And the desert, which I love so much. You know, Joshua Tree's my heart and soul, so
we're
happy to do that video and mix all three of those things together.
Yeah, that's cool. And I was going to ask, so you kind of led us there, the idea of being coined as Americana Outlaw, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's funny. It's actually funny. Sometimes I swear in a lot of my songs. I think you saw that. It's just merely an adjective for me that I can find no other word to describe, to take the place of that word. I think it's fun. I don't really quite know what outlaw is, but yeah, I was kind of labeled that, and I don't mind, to be honest with you. You know, I listen to outlaw country on Sirius Radio. I'm happy to be in that company. Of people that don't, you know, censor themselves necessarily, and a little more honesty. I find a lot more fun in honesty. So, if I've had some critics, you know, say that, you know, a nice girl shouldn't talk like that.
Uh-huh.
But.
So in 2014, you had the West of the Night, couple singles from that. Was that your first project, or have you done some things prior to that?
No, I have done other records. I actually did a record. My first full-length proper record was done in 2006. It was called Riding the Belly.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that with Guy Griffin from the London Choir Boys. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that band.
Mm-hmm.
We did it in Bedford, England.
Cool.
In a small town in England. All these English Brit players, which is so funny. It's been a common thread throughout my band until this last incarnation of the Deserters. Always like melding this English rock sound with my Americana country sound.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's, so writing The Belly in 2006 was the first attempt at doing that, which I love. I love that record. I'm really proud of that record. You know, I was new in the recording studio, new learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we played with that record and toured, you know, toward Europe, toward America with that record for a while. And then I've just been writing and writing and writing and playing live shows, and then until we got to the last record, West of the Night, which we completed in 2014, which with Chad Spasher,
mm-hmm.
the producer, and at Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses. He has a great studio in
Los cool.
Angeles.
Okay.
We recorded it there. Yeah, so there was quite a bit of time in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love West of the Night. We didn't quite release it the way that we wished and wanted it to, but with that record, we were able to get our Fender endorsement, and it, you know, every step up just helps, you know, just
yeah.
moving forward and forward. And I'm really proud and happy of how much more forward it's moved now with our Blood Is Like Wine release that's coming out.
What's a typical quote work day look like for you as an artist? What does that involve for you at this
you know,
point?
I am a nighttime writer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Nashville. I've been invited on a few sessions, and you know, the 11 o'clock, the 2 o'clock hours just don't seem to work as well for me. I do have a daughter, so uh-huh. I still rise early, but I stay up late to write.
Okay.
When the inspiration hits, usually
yeah.
at nighttime, it's usually a glass of wine in hand and a beautiful warm night sitting outside or in my studio, and it's about 5 days a week. I'm writing right now about, you know, two to three songs a week, and
oh,
with
cool.
this new band, sometimes
mm-hmm.
more. And so we spend a lot of time writing, a lot of time working on our craft. I think you'll find on the next record that we'll be recording now, probably be out next year, really honing in on the harmonies and the
mm-hmm.
just the nuances, that taking the time with every song that I've been craving, and you know, we're going to try and create a different sound on this new record. So yeah, it's nighttimes, it's bottles of wine, it's usually alone, sometimes with my band. We write in different stages.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it looks like for me.
And then are you on tour? Is that part of what you do at this point, or is it more local, regional type of performances?
Yeah, right now we're just doing local.
Uh-huh.
Because we just released this new single. We're coming out with a second single. We're doing a handful of music videos to support the song.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing around locally. We just did our first show with our new band up here in Topanga. I have another show booked in Santa Barbara next month. And more concentrating on recording the new record. When the second part of this record comes out at the end of this year, we will start our tour. We are busy. And we're writing songs for these soundtracks that we've been asked to do. So.
Oh, okay. So
we're really in the writing recording process.
Yeah.
Right now.
So you've got some
honestly
other...
Honestly, my favorite. I mean, well, actually, I can't say that. Playing with in front of a live audience is
yeah.
real like no other as well. But being in the studio and writing is just really amazing. We're putting this record out through Topanga Canyon Records, which we started ourselves.
Oh, cool.
We have
okay.
a studio up here in Topanga.
Yeah.
Pretty much living the entire lifestyle of this now at this point.
So the other projects, then, are things outside of your own personal recording projects that involve your own CDs, then you've got other things in the works
but
for other
do,
folks.
Yes, but they are from Angie and the Deserters. We are all doing it together.
Okay.
with the soundtracks and the other things. We're doing it as our band. It's the same group of people, which is so wonderful.
Do you get to write for other artists also?
You know, I haven't done that yet, and I'm hoping to do that. We're actually looking into that right now with our PR company and
mm-hmm.
trying to find out how that works out.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I would really be excited to hear somebody sing one of my songs
yeah.
and hear it in a different light. That would be a real honor for me. So we haven't done it yet, but I'm hoping to do that real soon.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so you say soundtracks for movies. What are these things that you'll get your other songs on?
We're doing the soundtrack right now for a web series that's coming out.
Okay.
There's a movie that we just we're able to play the song, and I think we're not allowed to talk about it yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's some big actors in it, so we're very excited
That's
about
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a couple of those. Hopefully trying to do the title track for that as well.
Oh, cool.
Placing one or two other songs in
that.
So it's really exciting to me. I really love being given a direction as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a really wonderful challenge for me, a storyline, a direction, and being able to write and hopefully live up to somebody's vision of what they have.
Yeah.
For them. I think it's such an integral part of a movie, too. For me, especially. I don't know
sure.
for everybody. I'm being a musician, but it's a real honor, and it's a real challenge, and I really enjoy it. I'm hoping to do a lot more of that.
I don't think people realize how important it is until it's missing.
I really don't think people realize either until, so you try and listen to it without it.
Right. Yeah,
because we get to see, the run-throughs of these shows without the music, and wow. Really see what's missing. And it's also really exciting because you can go either, there's so many directions you
sure.
can go, and you don't realize how much it really changes.
Yeah.
The scene, perhaps.
Well, you're telling a story underneath of the story with the music.
Exactly. At the same time, without taking away from the story.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
It's, again, a challenge. I love it. Very exciting to me.
So the new record is Blood Like Wine, and it's an EP. And if I read the notes correctly, is there two releases?
Okay, so Blood Like Wine will be the first 6-song EP, and then the other 6 songs will be coming out later in the year.
Okay.
As of yet untitled EP. We decided to split it up this time. We recorded all 12 songs at the Castle in Nashville.
At the same time.
At the same time,
so
we've decided to split it into 2 EPs. We just found that it seems to make more sense for us at this moment.
Sure.
And people's attention spans seem to be getting a little shorter.
I'm not sure.
Including my own.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like we're gonna try and work with that and see how that goes for us.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting concept, but I think that probably it makes sense. You're right. We're
trying it out. We're just. We don't really follow too many rules and look at that and, what other people are doing and what's the right thing to do. I think we just try and go with our gut on everything we do.
Yeah.
So far, so good, and I'm just going to continue to do that and try out different things and, while continuing to make music.
And you had a pretty good cast of folks involved in this recording project, right?
I really do, yeah. Jeff Huskins was our producer, our amazing producer on it. He did Keith Urban, Carrie Underwood, Clint Black. Twain, so many. We had it mastered by Bob Ludwig at Gateway, Zeppelin, Beatles, Stones, those little bands, Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And then as far as players go, I mean, Troy Lancaster from Loretta Lynn, Tim McGraw, Taylor Swift, Aubrey Haimey from Blake Shelton, Merle Haggard, Scott Sanders is Kenny Chesney, John Willis is Johnny Cash, Van Morrison, The Swine, Kevin Swinegrant, Willie Nelson, Linda Ronstadt, So as far as players go, I got the best of the best of the best and had just a total different experience.
Mm.
The Nashville Way was such a learning experience to me, so different than anything I'd done. We recorded it all live in the studio, one take.
Yeah, cool.
And it's just playing at that level just taught me so much.
Yeah.
It's incredibly scary, and I came out such a better seasoned musician, I hope.
Yeah, that's cool.
Definitely more confident.
So that releases this month, July of 2016, right?
That is correct.
And then what does it look like for you guys to begin to promote that? What does that look like in the short term?
For promoting the July 15th?
Yeah, the first
we're going to come out with another video for the second single.
Okay.
And we're going to book a bunch of shows and go out and play it for people.
Will that be more national than just regional?
Oh, yeah, this will be more national. Yeah, we're going to bring it out in the U.K. as well.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The U.K., they seem to like the Americana thing a lot. And it's
great, and I
love playing there. And, I think we have some fans there from working with the Choir Boys back in the day. I'm a bit of an Anglophile myself, so I couldn't be happier to be releasing it there as well.
Yeah, that's cool. And that'll be, so when do you have a projection for the second half? Is that, will you wait a full year before you do that, or is that?
Oh, no, that'll be definitely this year as well.
Yeah, okay.
I think we're thinking October, November, and I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We'll release those 6 songs, while we're recording the album that will be coming out next.
Okay.
Afterwards.
All right. Well,
busy over here.
Yeah, sounds like it.
In the world, which I will never complain about.
Will folks get to hear the songs that are on the second EP while you're on tour for the first half of it?
Oh yeah, we'll be playing them.
Yeah.
I don't think we can help it. It's hard, you know, going through the set list too.
Yeah.
To eliminate them because I love playing them. So we'll be playing and we'll be giving sneak peeks.
And what type of venues are typical for you guys? Where will people be able to see you?
I think we're going to be having some shows coming up at Pappy and Harris out in the desert, Joshua Tree, which is my favorite venue.
Mm-hmm.
Troubadour in Los Angeles, another place we love to play, the Mint. We like to do like more intimate shows, but those will be our bigger shows in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Unless we get a supporting tour for somebody else.
Yeah,
probably where we'll be.
Okay.
We'll be playing close to home, where all our friends are. I'd love to get out on a American tour for it as well, but we'll probably do that after both of them are released.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Where can people find you, get in touch, find out about your music, get a hold of a copy of the new EP when it comes out?
We're on all the online Pandora, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, all the digital outlets, and also at www.angieandthedeserters.com. Also Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, all those good things.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Angie. I appreciate it. Enjoyed talking to you today.
Hey, it was great talking to you, too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and best of luck to you guys. I look forward to getting to hear the rest of this EP when it comes out.
Right on, Greg. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.